Well, my problems may drag me down, but God's promises will lift me up. And as I get into God's Word and begin to see His promises, I can begin to lay claim to them because they are secure.
Have you ever taken God's blessings for granted? Ever been so focused on the bad and the ugly that you fail to see the good? Hi, I'm Dave Dino. When we get bogged down in our problems and our pain, it's impossible to fulfill our purpose. Today on The Tithe, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger reminds us that there's one place in which the seeds of discouragement can never ever grow, and that is in the heart of a grateful person. Let's join Dwayne for a few opening comments. Dwayne, it's easy for us to say count your blessings or we should be grateful, but how does a person go about developing a grateful heart?
Dave, I think the place to begin is to pause and reflect. Life is so fast and furious that unless we make the conscious effort to stop, think, and thank, it probably is not going to happen. I think we also need to literally start keeping a record of God's goodness, because we have good forgetters, and we don't remember tomorrow what God did yesterday. I think that is proven in the Scriptures with what happened with the Israelites. They didn't remember how God had provided their deliverance and their provided what their needs were. They forgot about God. But that's not just an Old Testament story. That's a current, present reality. We forget how God heard and answered our cries, brought us out of a difficult time, gave us a job, provided housing, whatever it was. And if we don't write those things down in some sort of a journal or a record book, we'll likely forget and certainly not be able to pass those on to our children or the generations to come.
I'm sure many of our listeners are going through a difficult time right now. Financial problems, physical problems, maybe they've even lost a loved one. If so, they may be asking, how can I be grateful in the midst of such adversity? What would you say to them?
I begin by saying, look around. I think really we begin to become ungrateful and self-centered by pulling away and sort of hiding, sort of nursing our pain, rehearsing our pain, cursing our pain. But Christ wants us to reverse our pain. I would suggest something. This may sound a bit odd, but how about visit a hospital? Sit at the emergency room and watch people being brought in. Walk through the hallways and see the pain, the heartache. Maybe simply go and visit a nursing home and see the difficulties that people are going through because of age or some disability. Suddenly your perspective will shift. If you have the privilege to walk or breathe on your own, you're much better off than many that are there. So it's a paradigm shift that is where it starts.
If you're discouraged today, if your problems are piled so high that they seem impossible to overlook, I invite you to stay with us for the next few minutes for Dwayne's powerful message, Growing in Gratitude. Let's listen in.
The devotional book called Springs in the Valley tells of a man who found a barn where Satan kept his seeds of sin to sow in the human heart. There were more bags with seeds of discouragement than any other seeds in that barn. He learned that Satan could get those seeds of discouragement to grow almost anywhere. But when questioned, Satan admitted that there was one place where he could not get the seeds of discouragement to grow. "Well, where is that?" asked the man. Satan replied, "It's in the heart of those Christians who are grateful to God for the things that He does." When I found that story, that little illustration, I began to analyze, how many times do you find a person discouraged, depressed, defeated, who is typically a very grateful person. They just tend to be a person of gratitude. They're giving thanks. They're expressing kindness. Stop then and think about the illustration. Satan finds it very hard to get the seeds of discouragement to grow in the heart of a person who is grateful to God for his goodness. Today I want to focus on growing in gratitude. Well, I want you to know that Satan will always try to trap us in the prison of doubt, discouragement, depression, and despair. Perhaps you have found yourself a prisoner there all too frequently. How can we avoid the devil's prison of D's? Today we're going to discover another spiritual weapon of warfare for our victory. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 26. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around, said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." He was walking in intimacy with God in the power of his spirit. At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in and attacked against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Now you have the picture? Not only were they being criticized, accused on the streets, they were taken captives, they were beaten, then they were thrown into prison, and they were fastened in stocks, limiting their ability to move and ease the pain that they were enduring. About midnight, verse 25, Paul and Silas were praying, and do you see what they were doing? Singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. I don't know what kind of prison you may have been sitting in for the last days or weeks. I don't know what kind of chains might be holding you in bondage. I don't know what kind of stocks might be holding your arms or your feet, or sometimes they put stocks around the neck where they couldn't move. But I want to tell you today, there is a way through the power of God to be liberated not only from the stocks and the chains, but from the prison. And it is the way of gratitude. What I want you to notice here is, first of all, focusing on God's promises versus personal problems. The way to get out of this prison, the way to break the chains and destroy these stocks that have been holding you, is to begin to praise God. After such beating and abuse, how could these two men choose to praise God? Well, that in fact is exactly what it is. It is a choice. Worship and praise and thanksgiving is not something that's generated automatically by what happens to you. It's an engagement of the mind, a decision of the will. Will you begin to thank and praise? Even though they were in prison, they were not captive in their minds. How could they have such gratitude in extreme grief? Well, we saw, first of all, it's because they focused on God's promises instead of their problems. One of the Lord's promises is that they would cast out demons in His name, and they had just done that. Don't you think that was a sense of encouragement that the power of God, His anointing, was on them? How many of you, like me, instead of declaring the truth of God, you might say, "Oh my goodness," instead of "How great my God is." Can I encourage you to start replacing that "Oh my goodness" with "How great God is"? He is a great God. And because He is great, He is greatly to be praised. He deserves our thanks, our expressions of gratitude. Well, my problems may drag me down, but God's promises will lift me up. And as I get into God's Word and begin to see His promises, I can begin to lay claim to them because they are secure, solid, like the builder who built on a rock instead of the sand. So become familiar with God's promises so you can overcome your problems. Secondly, they could overcome this grief with gratitude because they were considering their purpose instead of considering their pain. You know, a clear purpose will help you push through your pain. Again, I was asking during the series on purpose, why are you doing what you're doing? You see, if you know your purpose, and it's a noble purpose, you can push through your pain. Paul and Silas had a significant purpose. It was eternal. It was powerful. And because of that, they were enabled to endure the suffering, the pain that they were in, even in the prison. We all have pain in our life from time to another. We've all had difficulties, trials, certain levels and amounts of pain. But I want to let you know today that although we need to try to avoid the avoidable, we have a clear mission, and our mission is to serve and love God, even laying down our lives, being grateful for the fact that He has saved us, and we have the hope of going to be with Him for eternity. And in the midst of keeping our eyes focused on that purpose, we can continue to praise Him that He's redeemed us. So keep your focus on your purpose. Frank Victor, who was one of those who was in the prison camps, in the middle of that, he began to sense that those who would begin to envision of someday being free to go home with their families, their spouse, their children, back to their jobs, they were able to stay healthy, at least more healthy than others, because they had purpose, a why, in the middle of their pain. Those who have a why to live can bear with almost any how. Well, another way that these two men were able to have gratitude in the guardhouse. Number three, they were counting their blessings instead of counting their bruises. If you sit around and count your bruises in life, you will always be discouraged and defeated because we can always think of the bruises we've had. Bible commentary Matthew Henry, perhaps many of you have heard that name, Matthew Henry, wrote these words in his diary after being robbed. He said, "Let me be thankful. First, because I've never been robbed before. Because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all, it wasn't very much. And fourth," he said, "I can be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." You see, it's a matter of perspective. And when we start fixing our mind on the good things and have a paradigm shift and recognize the blessings that God pours into our lives, we can overcome the difficulties. When you go back to that opening illustration about the seed of discouragement, perhaps one of Satan's most powerful seeds he plants in our hearts. And how does he do it? He gets us to begin to view life through dark glasses. And he tries to just get us to go down in that spiral. And I want you to understand that we can stop that swirling, discouraging, depressing turn in our lives by beginning to focus on the blessings and the good things and then beginning to give thanks for what we have. Thank God for the fact that He's shaping and molding us, changing us into His likeness and image to become more like Him so we're not like Satan. What do you need to have in your life to really be grateful? What would it take in your life for you to be able to say that you are really grateful? My guess is there's a lot of things that may have been coming to your mind. But when you distill it down, when life is reduced to the essentials, to the basics, even the simplest little things of life can cause us to be thankful. Maybe it's because we have too much that we have forgotten how to be thankful. Maybe this biblical spiritual discipline of simplicity is more significant than we ever thought it was. And that it's all the stuff that we have in our lives that's causing us to be numb to the blessings that God pours into our lives. Well, I believe being able to have an attitude of gratitude is adjusting your perspective in life. Greta Wiseman was one of the prisoners at the Nazi death camp. She told the story of standing for hours in a roll call. And if you've read any of the history or have seen the movie Schindler's List, you've seen some snapshots of those kind of things where they would be called at any time of the day or the night with little on but a little garment, called out into the freezing cold, and they'd literally have to stand there for hours and their numbers would be called off. They didn't have names, they were simply called by their numbers. A horrible scenario. But she told the story of standing there, and one day as they were standing there for an extended period of time, one of the inmates noticed a little flower that had poked its way up through a crack in the concrete. And it rippled through those prisoners standing there, that there was this beautiful little flower down here in the concrete. And every one of them, as best they could, took a glance at that flower. And she goes on to say that as they were released to march back into their cells, their barracks, every one of them made sure to step over or around that flower as they took a glance at it, and they were thankful for its beauty. Talk about being reduced to simplicity. Talking about developing an attitude of gratitude. One little posy pushing its way through concrete. Let me ask again. What will it take in your life to have an attitude of gratitude? Well, I want you to notice that in this story that we looked at today, that gratitude led to greater blessings. I see in verse 26, when they were praising God, do you notice what it says there? Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. All at once the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. They were set free from their bondage in verse 26. They were set free from their bondage. I believe that an attitude of gratitude will set you free from many burdens that you carry in life. Gratitude is to the soul what helium is to the balloon. Put helium in a balloon, tie it, and let it go. What happens? Been there, done that, haven't you? You soar. When you praise and give thanks to God, you are declaring His authority and His rule in that place. The enemy is defeated and driven back. His chains are broken. The prison doors open. You are set free. Secondly, I see that they were instrumental in evangelism because of their gratitude. In verses 29 through 31, all the inmates were listening as they sang and worshiped God. And when the prisoner realized that the doors had come open and the chains were set free, his response was, "Tell me how to be saved." Gratitude generates a spirit of gravity toward our great God. It will happen for you in your soul, and it will happen for those who are around you. When you're being grateful to God for His greatness, it will create a gravity that will draw other people to Him. Third, they were provided for in their needs. Did you see what it says in verse 33 and 34? When the prison guard came in, and he heard the message, and he fell down, and he saw they were liberated, he then took them. He bathed their wounds. Number four, they were an encouragement to the believers. When you start sharing God's goodness and your gratitude, others will be lifted up. That's why it's so important to tell your stories in testimonies. When you share what God is doing in your life, even if you feel like it's something small, it generates a spirit of gratitude to God. It's contagious. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Praise and thanksgiving are ever to be great characteristics of the Christian life. He also said, the highest point of all worship and prayer is adoration and praise and thanksgiving. A 14th century preacher named Toller met a beggar one day as he was going down the street. Here came this poor beggar. As he passed this beggar, he said to him, God give you a good day, my friend. The beggar answered, I thank God I've never had a bad one. Then Toller, the preacher, said, well, God give you a happy life, my friend. The beggar said, I thank God I've never been happy. I've never been happier. I'm never unhappy. And Toller was amazed and asked, what in the world do you mean? Well, said the beggar, when it is fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. When I am hungry, I thank God. Are you getting the picture? He said, I thank God, and since God's will is my will, and whatever pleases Him pleases me, why should I ever be unhappy or unthankful? Toller looked the man in amazement, and he said, who are you? The beggar said, I am a king. Toller looked back at him and said, well, where is your kingdom? Where are you from? The beggar said, my king is in my heart, and I am living in his kingdom, and I am thankful to him. I want you to know that this attitude of gratitude is a perspective in our minds. The ability to have a heart of gratitude is begun in a decision of your mind. The mind is often the battlefield of the soul. What you think determines what you do, and what you do determines your direction, and your direction will determine your destiny. Do you understand the importance of developing an attitude of gratitude today? Are you hearing what I'm saying about the significance? In 1636, during the darkness of the 30-year war, a German pastor by the name of Martin Reinhardt is said to have buried 5,000 of his parishioners in 1 year, an average of 15 people a day. His parish was ravaged by war, death, and economic disaster. During that period of darkness, he sat down and wrote this prayer for he and his children, which has now become a hymn. Here's his prayer. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today.
Gratefulness is a decision, a conscious choice that you and I make to count blessings instead of bruises, promises instead of problems. For more about growing in gratitude, let's join our director, Don Schenk, who's standing by with Duane.
Duane, as I've been listening to you today, what I hear you saying basically is, when it comes to gratitude, the ball's in your court. You've got to make the choice. And I'm wondering, why is it so much easier for us to focus on our pain than on our possibilities?
Well, I think we get caught up in our flesh, Don. We feel our pain. We don't often feel that gratitude. We have to reckon with some of those human impacts. But if we focus on our pain, it ends up going nowhere. And we end up in a self-pity. We have a little party to moan and groan. But we miss what God's possibilities and His potential is for us. Gratitude will pull back the curtains to see the light. It'll open the door for us. We begin to see the possibilities of what God has in store, and He can take our pain and make possibilities. we have to recognize as we look in the scriptures that all the miracles started with a problem. And so when I'm going through difficulties, I need to recognize that I'm a candidate for a miracle. I have an opportunity to see possibilities in God's hands.
Dwayne, I want to share with our listeners quickly about one of our mission broadcasts that we need help in supporting. And that is in Honduras. Actually, Honduras is a country where many people might find it tough to find anything to be grateful for. It's one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. Actually, over half of the population live below the poverty line. The economy is weak. There's extremely high unemployment. Many people find no hope of improving the situation. In those conditions, a large number of people have turned to a life of crime. They've tried to escape reality through the use of drugs and alcohol. And the unfortunate thing is that so many young people have placed their hope and identity in gang life. There's been an incredible increase in the number of street gangs. And there just seems to be this vicious cycle of connected circumstances that just feed on each other. But through Christ Jesus, many people in Honduras can and are finding that they have the ability to break free from that hopeless downward spiral that they're in. And one of the ways of reaching them is through radio broadcasts. For 13 years now, we've been airing our program through Radio HRGS in Honduras. And we've just heard from them that many of their listeners have specifically mentioned The Tide as one of the programs that they listen to regularly. You know, people are being saved by listening to The Tide and the other programs broadcast on Radio HRGS. And it's all happening because of the support of friends of this ministry. And I want to just alert our friends and our listeners to the fact that we do need that support of that ministry in Honduras, because it's something that we cannot do without the support of people here in the U.S. who have a burden to reach out and share the gospel with others around the world.
As you may know, the Tide Radio Ministry is totally listener-supported, both on this station and abroad. Many of our mission broadcasts in other countries like Honduras reach people who cannot afford to financially support our ministry. On their behalf, we're asking you to help us to continue broadcasting Christ's message of hope and salvation. If you'd like to help us continue reaching the world for Christ, call us today, toll-free, at 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. Now, as always, today's program, Growing in Gratitude, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy, call us and ask for tape or CD number 0416. Or send your request to The Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario. That's Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. To find out how you can help us share the gospel or to hear an encore presentation of today's program, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. You're listening to The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide. I'm Dave Dino, inviting you to join us again next week for another message in Pastor Dwayne's series on Growing in Gratitude. We'll see you right here.